All right. This is a coaching call. So I've talked to you guys just briefly about weekly planning this week because I really want to jump into coaching super fast. So here's how it works. If you have a question, like a coachy question, and you don't want to get coached, you can put it in Q&A and I will try to get to as many as I can at the end. But if you want coaching, all you have to do is raise your hand. When you raise your hand, I'm going to call on you. And that means you will come on screen. So if you're brand new, a lot of you just joined today. If you're brand new, I cannot see you right now and I cannot hear you. But if you want to get coached today and you want to come on screen and I talk to you, all you have to do is raise your hand on your phone. Okay, like nobody wants coaching today? Seriously. There's not a single hand raised. Thank you. Oh my gosh, we have a Corinna. You're going to go first. Look at me. I get so excited when people have my name. Let's see. I have to start video. Hey, lady.
Hey. I was obviously not prepared for this.
Oh, that's okay. Most people aren't.
completely spur of the moment. I saw that you were having a coaching call and then you said, raise your hand. And I followed all the prompts and that's how I ended up here.
There you go. Well, that's all it takes. What are we going to coach on?
Well, I was just, as we're heading into the new year, what's been coming up for me is something that's kind of been coming up for some time now, is this trying to find balance between realistic planning and realistic for something I'll follow and realistic for something that allows me to lose weight. And in my brain, those are not the same plan.
They are the same plan, but that's the thought error. They can't be the same plan. So tell me your realistic plan that will not get you to weight loss. Tell me what that would look like today.
Today of the plan that I have is,
writing this down.
Generally my, huh? Okay. My plan that I've written today is, breakfast would be, eggs and some kind of meat, generally either bacon or sausage or something like that. Lunch, I wrote down a turkey sandwich,
okay,
which is turkey and cheese, bread, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then,
are you having
dinner? Pardon?
Do you have anything with it or is it just a turkey sandwich?
Just a turkey sandwich.
Okay. All right.
And then dinner, I have either meatloaf, tater tots, and a vegetable.
Okay.
Or depending, we might be having pizza tonight depending on how many people come over.
Okay. Why can't you just have meatloaf? Is it because that has to get cooked tonight?
Yeah, I haven't cooked it yet.
Okay. All right. So let's just plan on your realistic plan. Meatloaf, tater tots, and vegetables, option one. Option two is pizza. So how much pizza would you be eating?
How much pizza?
Yeah.
Probably two slices.
So two slices. All right. What's the problem? This is your realistic plan. This is a plan that you think won't help you lose weight.
I have two Christmas cookies on my plan too.
Okay. And two cookies. All right. Mm-hmm. And this is realistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is the one that you're identifying as the I can't lose weight plan.
Yes.
Okay. Well, my thought is you could totally lose weight on this. So what is the problem?
Well, I mean, that's kind of how I've been planning for at least December. I wanted to hone in on writing a plan I would follow. And so I've been following my plans for all of December. But it hasn't resulted in weight loss, which makes me start going, well, then, maybe I need to eliminate my bread, or maybe I need to,
So we're going to go to this plan. Your first thing is eliminate bread. Rather than, maybe I could have one cookie.
Yeah.
Because your brain is like, this realistic plan won't work. Now, let me ask you this, before we get too down far of the rabbit trail. This plan, every single time you've made one similar to this, you have zero overeats. You were hungry before you started eating every single time, and you stopped when you were satisfied. There was no going over plus two. There was no grab-assing, no extras, no a little this, that, and the other. It's like it's 100% realistic hunger scale dialed in. I just need to make sure of that part.
I am 100% sure on the minus two side. Absolutely.
Okay, good.
I don't like to eat when I'm not hungry.
Good. Well, that's good. All right. But I just want to make sure that your brain is very locked into a faux problem right now.
Yeah. And has been for about 3 months.
Yeah. And what I would like is real weight loss and not stewing over a faux problem. So What about stopping when you're satisfied?
I feel like I stop when I'm satisfied. I really try and pay attention. I definitely feel like,
but like except 100%. For those times,
100% no. I mean, I don't think, I have definitely had at least two overeats in the past month.
Okay, so before we start throwing away bread and thinking that a realistic plan doesn't work, we got to fix the two overeats.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I ask you, are you stopping when you're satisfied? It needs to be as balls-ass confident as, one, your hair, and number two, when I asked you about eating when you're hungry, it was like, oh, no, that's 100% dialed in. Like, that's not a problem. I don't like eating, blah, 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 blah. When I asked you about stopping when you're satisfied, well, I think I am. I mean, I feel good about it, but if I said, Sean, if I had a way of knowing, like, let's say I had implanted something in you in the night and you didn't know it, would you bet $50,000 on it?
No. I mean,
right.
Part of my,
you can't
part
bet
of me
$50,000 on it. Don't bet your life dreams on your goal weight either on it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. And part of it is my data, the fact that I am not losing weight must lead to the fact that I'm not 100% dialed in on the minus two or on the plus two side, because.
Let me ask you, when were you eating these cookies today?
They would be a follow-up to dinner. I don't eat them.
So after two pieces, let me ask you this, because this is the problem with the realistic plan. You have these two cookies. You're going to have two pieces of pizza. Will you be hungry? Will you be at a plus two when it's cookie time?
It's likely I could be at a plus two at cookie time.
Yeah. It's not the realistic plan. I'm so glad you got on this call, because that's like your brain. Like, I love how our brains do. It's like, okay, Corinne, I'm doing the things. This realistic planning couldn't be working because I've lost any weight. I should cut bread rather than I should start questioning everything.
Mm-hmm.
So like for you, I want you to spend the next month. Here's what I would do. I would keep planning like you're planning. And I would really say like, okay, I know I have two cookies on my plan, but if I am at my plus two, cookies just don't get to get eaten.
Yeah.
You know what that forces you to do? The next time you plan two Christmas cookies and you really want them and you know you're going to have pizza, you'll be like, well, I really want them cookies, so I better just eat one slice of pizza because I need to have room for the cookies.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think on an elevated level.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
I promise you, you work on that plus two side. Like, you really get to where you're questioning it and challenging yourself to eat the foods you love, but less of them. Because I would almost bet you, most of us, the plus two is the harder part.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll wait for hunger, but we'll wait for hunger because we know what we get to eat. It's like, there's a little reward. I just gotta wait for hunger. You know, but it's like, once I get started, like, the harder part usually is just being willing to be patient. And like tonight, I would love for you to do this experiment tonight. Think about, I'm going to eat my, like, how bad do you want the cookies? And if you want, there's no right or wrong. So don't say like, oh, not that bad, Brad. But like, if you really want to have your Christmas cookies, like if you really love them, go ahead.
Well, they're homemade and I only do them once a year. So yes,
they're probably more important than wherever you're ordering pizza from. I don't think that you're, you know, like Pizza Hut got a brand new chef or something that you got to try. So what I would do is I would spend the day thinking, I love these cookies. They're once a year and they're homemade. Like they've earned a place in this body. These are the things that I would for sure want on my realistic plan. But I'm going to eat a piece of pizza and I'm going to wait because what I don't want to do is run out of room in the inn for the cookies.
Yeah.
And I know we don't count calories, but you got to think about it. An average slice of pizza is going to run you a good 400 calories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just that one decision to be able to have cookies. I mean, that's how we one little decision today can make all the difference in a plateau. You know?
Sorry, the cat just climbed on my lap. So
my cats are locked out. They're just like, Lucy cried through the webinar. I don't know if anybody heard it, but when I was on the last call, she was like, wah, having her heart attack as usual. So, all right, that's what I want you focused on. Okay.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. I have felt fairly confident about my plus two and didn't feel like I was overeating regularly, but my data probably says otherwise, but my reaction to that data has been to want to throw some sort of stupid rules in to probably because it's in my brain easier to stop eating when it's just a piece of chicken than chicken with between two slices of bread.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like your data is telling you, yeah, what you're doing, like what you're doing isn't working for weight loss. But it's not telling you that you have to like go ham to get it fixed. It's just saying like this version needs a tweak. So where do you want to start? And that's for all of you to be thinking about this version needs a tweak. If you're doing the things and you're not seeing results, guys, it is rarely about the food. I mean, I think it's great when we're planning healthy food and stuff. Do not get me wrong. I think healthy food is amazing. But the majority of us, it's not about that part first. It's about like understanding, stopping. Like if you want to be able to include the foods that you love and you really want, then you have to pay the price on the other side of like, I can't just eat them. Even if it's like what you have in your head is probably a two, your body is saying this is your three or four.
Well, and I also kind of got to thinking about the fact that when I'm often don't get to minus two for 5-6 hours after I've eaten, mm-hmm. which is probably also a sign that it's probably more than plus two when I stop.
It could be. Or you're just getting really good at dealing with hunger. Like hunger comes in waves. No, seriously. It's like a negative two will hit. And if you don't eat, your body will tap into your fat stores and it will take some hunger away. And it will go from negative two to a zero, negative two to a zero. It'll like wave in and out before it finally hits at a point where it's like, okay, now we're going to go down. Or it will just kind of hang at a certain level. So just you work on the plus two side on just kind of thinking like, if I'm not going to change my realistic, like if I'm not going to start knee jerking on my food, you know, like where could I be making some small tweaks? You know, it may be just like tonight, like, slice and a half of pizza and 1.5 cookies. If they weren't Christmas cookies, I'd say like go with one. But if this is your special, you know, cookies of the year and stuff, and I'd be like, okay, I can probably deal with one slice of pizza and be just fine and have my cookies and I will know.
All yeah.
Right. Go get All it. Right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's see if Corinna is back. Let's see if we got our sound working. Can you hear me? All right, say something. We still cannot hear you. I don't know what's going on with your sound. It's so weird. You may have to, I tell you what, I'm going to call someone else again, go into the chat and see if anybody knows what you need to do with your sound to get it to come on. Okay. All right. Traveling Lisa. Let's see what you got. Hey guys, if your hand's raised, make sure you check. Sometimes we raise our hands with our butt and we don't know it. And then I call on you and you're like, oh, Lisa, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. All right.
I'm turning up my video.
All right. All right. So are you a newbie or are you someone who's been around? Because this will determine the level of coaching.
I am brand new today. Tomorrow is actually my 49th birthday.
All right.
And so joining the tribe is my birthday gift to myself.
Well, welcome.
So I'm really, thanks. I'm so happy to be here. I have this idea in my mind that I'd really like to lose 50 by 50. And so I've been toying with this for a few months now and listening to some of your podcasts. And so that's my goal that I've set for myself this year. And I'm looking forward to working with all of you to achieve it. The one concern that I have, obviously, you can tell from traveling Lisa, is that I am not home a lot. I am on the road all the time for work. And by on the road, I mean on planes, overseas, going places where I don't have a kitchen and I'm not going to know what restaurant I'm going to be at for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm not going to stop doing that because I love that life. But I need to reassure myself that I can find a way to manage through it. And that's where I've always quit in the past is when I'm home, I'm in control. And as soon as I hit the road and the anxiety and the socializing and the travel, then I quit, gain it all back. And I need to get out of this cycle. So I'd love any just.
We need to work on your anxiety around why you have anxiety around socializing. Because here's the thing. It's like, I love this life. Boy, girl, it gives me anxiety and socialization.
Right? Well, it's not easy. I mean, I grew up in a small town and a farm. You know, I wasn't, I love the idea of traveling around the world and I love what I do for a living, but I wasn't raised to, you know, be talking to CEOs in India.
Who cares?
So now that that's my life,
well, let
fantastic.
Me ask you this.
I love it.
How many
but I love it more with a glass of wine.
Let me ask you this. How many 12-year-olds are like, hey, I just want to let you know, I need to raise you to talk to CEOs.
Right, exactly.
No one. That is a story, though, your brain is telling you. It's like, well, I'm from a small town. I have all these reasons why it's hard to do all this.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
It is.
That's just what your brain's telling you.
Right.
In the moment, what is the problem? Like, if you're going to lose weight this year, you know that you're going to have to become the kind of person who can go to dinner with CEOs and be nervous and feel anxious and feel awkward with a joyous salad and club soda in your hand.
Whew. Well, that's why I'm going to need this trod.
But I want you to think about this. That is the person that you're going to need to be willing to become. You're going to have to be willing to not be the person who says, I come from a small town and this is why I am the way I am today. You have to be like, this is the person that I'm going to become. I need to figure out why am I so anxious around these people? It's not because of what I was taught on a farm at 12. I guarantee you it's because of what you're thinking about in the moment. You're talking to them. If you had to guess, do you know what you think when like, just, do you have a recent time where you just needed a little wine to take the edge off or whatever?
I always have recent times when I need a little wine to take the edge off. No, I mean, not like daily alcoholic, but like.
No, I know, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, it helps. There's the small talk flow and you know, it helps relax your mind to get there.
That's going to be the story also. You have to become someone who doesn't believe that it's helping you.
Yes.
If you sexy up, like, well, it helps get the small talk and it helps do all these things. You're not going to want to avoid that.
Right.
It's not doing that. Like, you're telling yourself that's what's happening. But here's the other story you could be telling yourself. I'm drinking wine because I'm afraid of what they think about me.
True.
That's the truth.
That's harder to accept, but it's true.
It's way harder to accept, but if you don't tell yourself the truth, then this other truth that sounds like, you know, Jason Momoa naked on a beach with a glass of wine, you're not going to tell him to turn that down. Do you see how, like, welcome to the tribe where we tell you how to feel like shit from the get-go.
Well, you know what? At 49, almost 50, it is time to figure it out. So I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. I think for you, it's going to be really listen, like get into the no BS, because it's going to teach you all about the mindset stuff. But for you, it's like, I want you thinking about this, like, and now if I was you, I would write about this, just get you some paper out and think about who, we're actually doing this class tomorrow night, but who do I, like, who am I going to need to be in this next year? Like, if I want to lose 50 pounds this year, then I'm going to need to do, I'm going to need to think, I'm going to need to become these things. And one of them will be, I will need to be someone who doesn't need to take the edge off to be myself. I'll have to learn that piece. I will need to become someone who travels and, like, doesn't freak out that she doesn't know what restaurant she's going to. She has to be confident that she's got her hunger scale and that she can order something healthy. I've got to become someone that can walk into a room with CEOs and maybe freak out a little in my head, but not eat because of it. Eventually, right, we learn how to not freak out anymore. But the first version of you, which is the hardest version for most of us, is learning how to freak out around the people that we are worried about their opinions and not eat over it until we get to the point where we're not eating enough to hear what we're truly worried about. Because you're not hearing what's really going on. You're hearing, it makes things easier to eat and drink. It makes conversation mm-hmm. flow. It makes the experience better. It's not really doing that. All it's doing is shutting up your own negativity. And rather than shutting up your negativity and not addressing it, we want to hear what it is and rewire how you talk to yourself. Then you don't need, like, you don't have the desire and stuff anymore because you're not running from anything.
I think that would be an even better benefit than the weight loss.
Well, most people say they join the tribe, they're like, oh my God, like, I've lost some weight, but fuck, I feel better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So get into your no BS. I promise you, so much of that is there. And, like, when you get especially to the phase two, this is where we start going through the thought work stuff. And it starts helping you, like, oh, this is what I think about me. And this is how I change that part. That's going to be money for you.
All right.
Well, thank you for jumping on a call. That's brave.
Yeah.
You can't be, like, too broke.
I have a brave, like, adventurous
spirit. I will raise my hand. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Michelle. And then Corinna, I'll call on you next. We'll try one more time, Corinna. See what's going on with your stuff. Michelle, is it coming? Stacy says she's figuring out her plus two, and that's where she wants to focus for the next 30 days. Can you discuss easy actions to take while I'm eating to help me figure this out? Yeah, so if you go through the no BS, Stacy, in the, like, the four basics, it talks about the hunger scale, actually give you some tips and tactics. I think we also have Kathy or whoever, I don't know which coach is here today. One of you, will you tell me, don't we have a new worksheet and stuff that has, like, tips and tricks on these kinds of things? I'm almost 100% sure we do. But the main ones that come to mind are eat with your non-dominant hand, guys. Always, 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 if you're trying to figure out your plus two, the big thing is you need to get used to slowing yourself down So if you eat with your non-dominant hand, you'll naturally force yourself to slow down. Some people even do it with chopsticks and stuff if you don't know how to use chopsticks. That will make you focus more. Asking yourself throughout the process, like have a plate. When you first get your food, you can look at your plate and you can have like three times you're going to stop eating and ask yourself, have I had enough? It's just like a conscious, and you give yourself 60 seconds to sit there with your food without eating anymore, thinking about it and just listening to if you're like, but I don't want to stop and I just want to keep going. But like, it's okay if I say all that. It's okay if I think all that, but I am going to sit for a minute and at least know what the things I tell myself. So like saying like, you know, when I finish a third, I'm going to do this like dramatic pause thing. I think one of the other things for dialing into your plus two, guys, is just, let me call on someone else. Let me call on Corinna, because it looks like Michelle didn't mean to have her hand up. Guys, check and make sure that you want your hands up, okay? Because sometimes you guys have your hands up and I call on you and you didn't want your hands up. But it's like, it's really just slowing down and asking yourself questions. And well, Michelle, hang on. I got two of you now. Which one is, somebody say something.
Hello, Corinna.
Corinna. Okay. Michelle, I'll call on you next. Let me put you back down. Zoom is acting like a donk today. Hang on one second. And I think it's just like the other thing is just like once you've slowed down and stuff, it's just understanding the thoughts you tell yourself about your food and then saying, oh, okay, sometimes I think I just want it. Am I willing to wait 2 minutes now? Am I willing to wait 2.5 minutes? Think about the slowest and smallest things you can do. This is also an amazing question. So once you've gone through no BS and you've gone through the hunger scale stuff, if you're still at a loss, this is a great question to take over to the Facebook group. If you're in the Facebook group and ask, because we have so many tribe members who are really good at identifying the plus two, they will help you. All right, Corinna, now's the time. We finally have sound. So are you new?
Finally.
Are you new or are you?
I am not.
Okay.
September baby. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you'll understand when I talk things like the model and journal.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So what are we coaching on?
So I have two things that I'm just kind of struggling with. One is getting on the scale. And the other is kind of losing motivation throughout the holidays. I have good intentions. I get up early. I'll make my plan. And then I just lose motivation throughout the day to follow it.
Is this just a holiday thing or is this like an all the time thing?
I think it might be part of the holiday thing, but also, yeah. Okay. All right.
So like, let's not go on that. Like this is like, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but a lot of you are sitting around like, whoop, whoop, how I showed up in the holidays and blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, tell me how that's going to serve you. Or do you want to figure out what you're going to be doing for the next 30 days?
Sure.
You know, if it was literally the holidays and this was like, you know, in the holidays, it was harder. I'm just around more of my temptations and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's great to go back and reflect and say like, okay, like this is what the holidays brought up for me. That when I'm around these people or when these situations happen or when I'm around my food more often, I noticed that I just, you know, did this. Write about it, learn from it, archive it so that the next holiday you're armed with like, this is what happened last time. The same thoughts and stuff are probably going to come up, but what am I going to do different this time?
Sure.
That's why I was asking, because if it's not, if it was like, well, since September I've been doing this, it wasn't the holidays. And this is like a long-term thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And I know I really prepped for Thanksgiving, listened to a lot of the podcasts and, you know, No BS and all of the ways that you helped us prep for, you know, eating our 2-to-2 and just, you know, not always, you know, overindulging for the holidays. But, I think there's also a component of the shiny and new, you know, diet mentality too, you know, having joined in September, you know, I feel like I need something new. I got my new purse planner in the mail a couple days ago, so I'm ready for 2020, but just, you know, trying to wrap my brain around getting on the scale and having that be data for me instead of, making it feel like it reflects me as a person. The number on the scale is a reflection of who I am as a person.
What if you just get on there and just say, I'm open to whatever I think. I might throw myself under the bus. I might be able to throw myself under the bus for a minute and reframe myself. I mean, no matter, here's the thing. When you get on the scale, no matter what, it's a good opportunity to practice figuring out where your brain likes to go. And are you going to follow it and believe it? Or are you going to use it to redirect yourself?
Sure.
Avoiding it and being afraid of it and thinking that it's going to mean something about me. And then not getting on the scale, you've already decided it means something about you. You're affirming it at that point. You said, I can't even get on there. So there's that. Mm-hmm. That's like saying, it's not data. It's not even an opportunity to practice. It just controls me. Right now it's making me not get on it at all.
And I think there's an aspect of, and I know you've, talked about this in different podcasts and coaching before of shame of what happened over the holidays versus what I imagined happening over the holidays. How can I get through the holidays without gaining or, go on vacation without gaining?
Holidays. Let's just your brain right now is very I don't really want to talk about it. Kind of want to talk about it, but I also don't want to weigh about it. And I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? It's what happened? You don't even know. You know what you have? A fantastical story in your brain that it wasn't good. That sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what
happened?
If you were doing factfully, what happened?
Factfully?
Yeah, we already heard, we already know there's a lot of fiction going on. We want to hear the facts.
Sure. I think, I thought, I don't need to write this down. I can just remember it in my brain. This is not difficult. Why should I have to write everything down? I can just eat my 2-2 and not journal anything. But I think journaling I know that journaling helps me to kind of keep those thoughts at the forefront of my brain so that I can know what my why is and reach my fairy godmother goal.
So you learned, here's going to be one way that I will hear people describe it. You'll get on the scale, you'll be up, see, I knew it. I couldn't follow through. I didn't have my back or, I forgot what you said. I just lose motivation. Mm-hmm. That's one story. Here's the other story. Well, I looked and see what happened. I learned that journaling is it's a non-negotiable now. When I don't journal, I don't follow. I don't I'm not the kind of person to just leave it up to the universe to figure it out the food for me. I'm the kind of person that does really well with a plan. I'm the kind of person that does it. So I will be a planner. You can talk about it in a way of here's what I learned. Here's what I learned about me. I'm not the kind of person that can just free ball it. I'm also the kind of person that will want to do that so that they get to eat. But I'm wise to myself now. Thank God I figured this out. You get to tell that story. Mm-hmm. Which one are you going to tell?
The figuring it out.
If you're the kind of person that's going to be figuring it out, do you avoid the scale? Mm-hmm. What happens?
You don't have the data. Yeah.
You have two models. You got the one where the scale is up here and your thought is that's going to tell me all the things that are wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Or you can have the model over here. That is, this is how I get to practice redirecting my brain. Mm-hmm. This is how I'll practice seeing reality and deciding I'm no longer the kind of person who makes this a bullshit problem about me. It doesn't mean that you don't feel momentary blips of disappointment and stuff, because the old model will run. The old model will want to have shame, and the old model will want to do that. You're just going to also have another model running at the same time that says, this model's not good enough anymore. I can feel a little disappointment. I can feel a little shame, but I also can know it's just how I'm thinking, and I'm learning how to think this way. The only way I'm going to learn to think a new way is to like get my ass in there and do it.
Sure.
And
I think the difference, go ahead.
No.
I think the difference, you know, being in the tribe and, you know, getting coaching and things like that, is that at this point in time in any other program, I'd probably just quit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, hey, you know, this is a learning opportunity. Let's try to figure out what's going on. And how can I really get to this goal that I have had for so long? So like, I'm not going to quit. And I think that's the really important part, but like I've quit so many times, then I can't do that anymore.
I would encourage you, and I think this is a really good exercise for a lot of you, is I want you to look back at your last 30 days before you weigh.
Okay.
And I want you to ask yourself, what all did I learn about myself? What did I learn that's going to help me the next 30 days? Figure out I learned that I need to be a planner. I learned that I don't necessarily want to plan. So I'm going to have to learn how to like planning by doing it and seeing positive benefits out of it, doing it often when I don't feel like it. Like, that's the person I have to be in the next 30 days. Like when you look back at the last 30 days, really identify, like, this is everything I learned about me, and then pick one thing from that and say, and this is what I work on the next 30 days. This one thing, not all the things, just like, if I worked on this one thing 100% and put my energy and effort into it, it'll make a difference. And then the next month you can do the same exercise. What did I learn about myself the last 30 days? But I may be an amazing planner now, but I also noticed through the planning that I'm the kind of person who is switching foods, or, you know, I now show up for my plan every day, but I don't show up for the foods that I plan on it. So there's something going on there. What could that be? What have I learned about that part of it? That's how you build each month on reconstructing your life, rather than just like looking for another diet. Because the problem is that even if you get a diet, let's say you're like, you need something shiny and new, and you find some kind of like the new keto hotness or, you know, whatever, you're still going to have the same thought patterns around it. When it gets hard and you don't want to do it, you're going to be telling yourself, you know, I don't really like that plan. I think today I'm just going to try to wing it. I'm just going to see what happens today. It's the same patterns, and you have to notice them, because they will play out in any diet that you pick.
Sure. Totally understandable. Yeah.
And I just, you know, I just think there's some value for you. Is it Karina? Do you say it like that?
Karina.
Karina. Okay.
Yeah.
I think there is some real value to you really thinking about going from, like, don't expect to feel amazing about yourself, but just because we don't feel amazing and in love and proud, it doesn't mean we have to be all the way over here in the shame shawl, shaking in the corner, afraid of the scale. There's room in the middle to just be like, you know, I am a little disappointed. I thought it would turn out different. It sure didn't. Here's why. Here's what I've learned. And then have like a quiet, like calm about, like, all right, I know what I know now, and I know I can keep going, and I can take this and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you have,
yeah, there's a lot to learn.
You've already got an edge. You have our name. You have an edge over everyone else. Nothing else. I always tell yourself that. We're winners just by our name.
Definitely. 100%.
Yes. There you go. All right, lady. Get after it.
Thank you so much.
First ad planner.
Yes, I know. It's awesome. Starting today. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Who is next? Cheryl? Valerie, she's asking about having IBS in, I think it's SIBO, S-I-B-O, that she wants to make sure she can manage her conditions and lose weight. Are there any groups dedicated to those kinds of health issues? Not those specific ones, but the special diets group, if you'll go to the Facebook subgroup, special diets, go to pmptribe.com, go to community, and then you can go to the Facebook tab, join that group because there are people with your same issues in that group. That's usually where they collect because they're going to be doing special diets because of health concerns. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Hi, can you hear me okay? Good.
Yes, ma'am. Are you new or are you an elder?
I've been on since April.
Okay, so you are an elder.
Yeah.
Everybody went to elder status today. If you're September before, you're now. I keep telling
everybody elder.
I know it just sounds like shit. So, all right, what am I helping you with today?
My motivation. Okay. And it's not even motivation. It's more. I go, and then step back. Anything in my house is just me because it's only me in the house.
Okay.
So food wise, you know, I'm buying it and I know I'm buying the wrong things. I have celiac disease, so I'm gluten free. I'm also diabetic. Okay. So I already kind of feel like, well, there's a lot I can't have anyway. So.
Is it that
why
you
limit myself?
You ever eat those things?
Yeah.
So it's not that. So you need to quit telling yourself I can't have them.
I shouldn't have them, I should say. I mean, I'm literally celiac, so gluten free for me results in physical.
It's a lie you tell yourself. Do you know how I know it's a lie? Okay. How do we know it's a lie?
I keep eating it because I keep doing it.
Right. So it doesn't like. But the reason why I point this out. It's because like, you're never going to, let me tell you, if your problem is motivation, let's do a model. And tell me something you recently ate that a celiac would not eat.
Whoppers.
A Whopper? Oh my gosh. When I was
no, the candy Whoppers.
Oh, well, I was fixing to get down on Burger King because when I was pregnant, I ate me many a Whopper. I was just like, hell yeah, Whoppers. So, all right, Whoppers. Yeah, Chris and I think gained about 20 of our pounds. 20, my, like, basically almost, I don't know, 80 pounds with Logan. And Chris is 50, came from Burger King. So we have Whoppers. I can't have that. This is obviously a lie.
Yeah.
Because when it's up here in the sea,
because I know it's going to happen to me.
This is, we've already ate it.
I know.
So let's
have the consequences soon.
Yes. So here is Whoppers, and we've not ate them yet. Okay. This is just us conceptually thinking about this candy. Okay.
Okay.
And you think I can't have that. How does that feel?
Aggravating.
Aggravating. So this is why we're not motivated. Because when we tell ourselves horseshit that aggravates us, we're never going to feel motivated.
Okay.
That's like key one. So like if you're aggravated, what is your action line looking like? Besides eat the Whoppers, eat them anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to eat them anyway. I'm going to feel worse off. I'm going to gain more weight.
That's your results.
That's my result, yeah.
But when we're aggravated, do you sit around and, like, want them, obsess over them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sit in a diaper over them?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is really important because can you imagine if you just never told yourself this sentence again?
I've been doing it for so many years. How do I stop?
Every time it comes into your head, you have to remind yourself, one, that's a lie. I obviously can have it anytime I want because sometimes I sacrifice my health for them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I sacrifice my dreams for them.
A lot of times.
That's the conversation that has to be had. This conversation is just aggravating you. Let me ask you this. If your thought is, of course I can have them, it just means I'm going to feel like shit. It means that I'm going to sacrifice my health. How does that feel?
Feels terrible. I feel like I let myself down.
That's where terrible comes in. Like I'm letting myself down, but I want you to think about if you weren't judging yourself for a minute to think, of course I can have Whoppers. It just means I'm going to feel like shit. It means I'm going to sacrifice my health. And it means that I'm going to like not be able to lose weight. Just take a deep breath and think about how does that really feel?
It's depressing.
Is it depressing or is it true?
Well, it's true, but it's...
It's depressing. Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just think about it. There's no wrong answer. It's depressing to not have Whoppers. Why?
Because I want to be able to eat what I want to eat.
Do you see? And that's why I wanted to ask you this. I want to eat what I want to eat. It's probably the most painful thought error for you. In all of this, it's the one driving. I can't have that. Let me ask you, do you really want to be able to eat what you want to eat? Because right now you're eating what you want to eat and it's causing you to have weight and it's causing you to, I don't know what happens with your celiac, but my niece has it and she shits her pants when she eats bread.
Like, that's what happens to me.
She craps her pants on the way home.
It's worse than giving birth.
So do you really want to be
able to still do it?
But let me ask you that. Let's not go into shame town. I want you to question yourself. Do you really want to be able to eat what you want to eat? Or do you want to be able to start eating in a way that works for you?
Start eating in a way that works for me.
I think that is the story you're going to have to start telling yourself more. I want you to notice your model. I want to eat what I want to eat. Leaves you probably aggravated also. Eating things that cause you physical pain. And it results in you not getting what you really want out of life.
Yeah.
That thought is like the core of the problem. You think you want to eat these things. In the moment, it probably feels like you do, but you have to start telling yourself, my mouth wants it, but my future doesn't. My colon doesn't.
How do I just don't know how to get past that thinking though.
You need to literally write these sentences down on a sticky note and put them in places where you see them often. You need to come up with ways in the, like you need to think about when you're going to want these foods And you have to make ahead of time agreements about having these conversations with yourself before you go get it. How often are you how often before you eat things are you having a conversation of like, it's not that I want to eat what I want to eat?
I'm not.
That's the problem. That's an on-purpose, deliberate conversation. People always ask me, like, how do you do this? You're going to need to, like, get on your phone and say, you know what? At 7 o'clock this afternoon or this evening, I will be thinking about this. I'm going to have it pop up on my phone. I'm going to write about it. Every day. I'm going to remind myself, the lie I tell myself is that I want to eat what I want to eat. It's like, if you really wanted to just eat what you want to eat, you wouldn't be here.
True.
So it's like uncovering, what do you really, truly want? What do you really, truly want? If you could have anything in the world when it comes to Whoppers, but yeah, seriously, we're going to keep the same circumstance, our Whoppers.
Okay.
And knowing that celiac is not going away and your diabetes is not going away, what do you want to have happen when they're presented?
To just look at them and say, I used to be able to eat those.
Of all things, you want to be like, I used to be able to eat those.
I know I can't, but or I shouldn't.
I'm giving you dream case scenario. I want you to see how locked in your brain is to I can't and I shouldn't. let's do it this way. So your brain is really trying to make it painful.
Yeah. It feels painful.
It feels painful because you're hanging on to the idea that mm-hmm. you really want these. And I'm trying to get you to start really wanting your future life more than a Whopper, which means you're going to have to be thinking about your future way more often than you are now. Like, as much time as you spend thinking about Whoppers and those foods, like every time you catch yourself thinking about them, you need to think about your future self 10 times. For every occurrence, which would mean, like, a lot of people go, Corinne, what the fuck? That's all I'll be doing. I'll be exhausted doing all of that thinking about my future. I'm like, yeah, rather than being exhausted with your beat down every time you have a Whopper. We're going to be exhausted. We're going to go down swinging, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you this way. If you could feel anything about a Whopper, what would you want to feel?
I don't even know. I have a hard time getting into my feelings.
We need to get more into your, like, I need you to take the phase two of no BS. You're going to have
Sorry.
To. The reason why you're not, no, don't be, why are you sorry? Stop apologizing.
No, I'm the cat jumping over.
Oh, I didn't even see the cat. We need to get it more into our feelings because it's probably why we're eating Whoppers.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how we truly want to feel in this world. So we're using Whoppers to create some kind of feeling, like satisfied.
Okay.
All right. So let me ask you this way. If Whoppers are presented, what would you like to have happen?
Not to eat them.
All right. So we're going to start with their action line. We don't eat them.
Okay.
Okay. And you said you really wanted to feel motivated, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to put motivated in our feeling line. Let's brainstorm what you would need to think about Whoppers that would have you to feel motivated to not eat them. And it's not going to be, I can't have that. You've already told me that feels aggravating. And I'm thinking I shouldn't have them. probably feels punitive or restrictive. Yeah.
I used to enjoy them. How about
that? But I want you to think about, like, let's really identify this feeling. I know I'm, like, going hard on you, but I used to be able to have them. Does that feel good? Or does that feel, no, like, wistful? Pining for, yeah, of my past? No. That doesn't feel motivating.
No. I just can't get there. I'm at a loss.
Just take a guess. Just one little guess. Anything that you could think. But this is the pie in the sky. This is not tomorrow's model. Tomorrow's model is, I will shit my pants when I eat what I want. When I think I can't have it, that's a lie. Sometimes I eat them and I crap my pants or my celiac acts crazy. That's the truth. Like, our next model is all about the truth. Your next model can also be something along the lines of, like, when you say, I just want to be able to eat what I want to be able to eat. And so, like, no, you know what I want? I want to quit thinking that I want to be able to eat what I want to be able to eat. What I'm working on is believing that one day that these foods won't matter as much as my health does. Like, you can think stuff like that. This is interim stuff, right? I just want you to have, you said you wanted to feel motivated. You need to figure out a thought that you can anchor to that one day I might believe that. It's not today. Okay. And it probably ain't next week either, but one day maybe I'll see a Whopper. I won't eat it. Because I'm motivated, because I keep thinking I can do this.
I can do it and I'm worth it.
I can do it and I'm worth it. That's it. I can work on not wanting them.
I can do that.
That's like how you baby step your way out of it.
Okay.
And then the result is, if you don't eat them, you start proving to yourself you can do a little things at a time.
Okay.
Watch this again. Right. What I want you to do is, I want you to write down some of the latter thoughts I gave you. And then I literally want you to put them on sticky notes. And I want you to put them on it around your house. I want you to put them in places where you can see them often. And I also want you, every single day, the thought I'm working on believing in the planner, I want you to pick one that feels really doable for now. And I want you writing it every day. The way the brain, like, when you ask me, like, how do you do this? There's several ways. Visual cues. Your brain literally needs to handwrite some of this stuff, because when it handwrites it, it automatically visualizes what it writes. So it's getting, one, the connection between the writing, and it starts thinking. Your brain is real funny. It thinks anything that's handwritten must be like the Bible. I mean, it's just crazy like that. So it, like, really attaches to what you write about. The second thing that it does is, when it writes, it very often runs a movie in your head. Most of us think in pictures. And so it starts running a movie in your head of being like somebody who believes that, like, I can do it, I'm worth it, and saying no to Whoppers. It sees you picking Whoppers up at the grocery store and putting them back down. It allows your brain to start believing ahead of time that these things are happening. That's how you do it. But before you can do it, how, you have to know what you can think to get there. Okay.
Okay, I'll work on it.
All right. Thank you, lady.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye, Cheryl.
All right. Bye.
Let's do one more, guys. Let's go with Danny. All right. Let's do two more. Angela, I think you had your hand raised last week. I'm not mistaken. Hey, Danny.
Hello, Corinne. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Did you turn your
Wonderful. I am pushing the OK button right now. Oh, there I am. Hello.
Hello. So are you new or are you elder?
I am a newbie as of 5:45 this morning, and your face has not left my screen since. It's 11 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. So are you on, what time zone are you in? What time zone are you
in? I'm on the West Coast. West Coast.
Okay. I was like, if you were Central time, you might have been like the first one.
I'm so excited to be here. First off, I just want to tell you the nickname that you've had since August in my home is Fat Girl Jesus, because you have been quoted so many times in my home. So
that's hilarious.
I'm thrilled to be here. My whole family is supporting me on this journey, and this was my Christmas gift for my family.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. So do you have kids?
I have two. I have a 16-year-old who named you Fat Girl Jesus, and I have a 10-year-old.
Oh, that's awesome.
Both daughters.
How long? Both daughters. Oh, this is even better. So that you know, yeah. So you can teach them some of this mental ninja work that we do to make us empowered women. There's a lot of female empowerment that goes down in the tribe.
Well, they're my biggest supporters, and to be honest with you, my biggest motivation. And they call me on my BS all the time.
That's awesome. So you have built-in support.
Such a great job supporting me here.
All right. Well, what are we coaching on?
Well, so I found you in July. In August, I really started following you. I created a Marco Polo accountability group through the groupie page.
Okay.
And I have four other women that I connect with on a daily basis. We were habitual listeners of you, and we consume everything. Here's the problem.
Okay.
I've gained and lost the same 5 to 10 pounds since August.
Okay.
And I literally do a plan every single day. I don't journal. I'll be honest with you. It's one of the areas where I just can't wrap my mind around it. And I know. I'm so excited. I've already printed out the first month of the planner, and I've already purchased it to be sent to me this morning. So I am all in. I think that what's tripping me up is being too hard on myself with a realistic plan and not being realistic. And then all the grab assing I'm doing because I'm going way too far on, and it's not realistic. My meals are typically like what you would see like a fitness person eating. I mean, I've been on this journey for so long. I was a professional dancer and I was super thin. I had a 24-inch waist when I met my husband, and now I have a 49-inch waist. It's ridiculous. And so I just need to figure out exactly how to write a realistic plan. And on the past couple of coaching sessions that you did this morning, I've written a lot of notes, but the level up is where I get tripped up. Because I think that to level up, I need to take it from here to way up there. And
we have to override
that. I really need help on. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to override that part.
Okay.
You already know what your problems are.
I do.
You've laid out like, here's everything that I'm going to need to learn in the next 60 days. My first 60 days is I'm going to need to like learn how to make a realistic plan and not like it.
Yes. Yes.
Here's the next version of you. It's like, there's a version of you that's like the delusional Danny, who's like, oh my God, chicken and broccoli. Like I saw this seriously on Instagram from Six Pack Abs Girl. Like that's delusional Danny. Because if that was going to work, you'd already be doing it.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to like, say like, that's a no now. So tell me what a realistic, you tell me what is, what is the problem with the realistic plan for you?
Okay, so I write it every day, and I downloaded your journal today. So I have, typically for breakfast, I'll have like cottage cheese, or maybe I'll do like a protein shake and two shots added in at Starbucks, which I absolutely love. I'm not a big chewer and eater in the morning. I'd rather just drink it on my way to work.
That's fine. If you like it.
But the problem
is.
So the problem is I get to work and then there's donuts. I work at a school. So the entry area is always filled with all kinds of goodies for the teachers. And I'll tell myself no 4 out of 5 days, but then the 5th day will come and then that will lead to the 6th and 7th day. So I do the grab asking.
Let me ask you this. What if you already know your pattern, what would it look like if on, like, it's like every Friday I eat a donut. That's what we do. We have donut. Yeah. We don't do our shake. We just eat a donut because that's what we really want, because that's what we're doing. Rather than
so I was doing that.
Okay. So what's the problem?
I was doing that and I was losing the weight and I was losing it. And then I get to this, okay, I've got to level up. I've got to be 1% better. And that's when it would go, okay, I can't.
Why did you have to level up is the question.
Because I felt like it was time. It was time. I had lost.
Other than your brain, what told you it was time?
Nothing. 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 My brain.
Do you believe you can lose weight? Where's your head at?
Don't make me cry.
I don't make people cry. Y'all just volunteer. Tell me, just be really honest. There's nothing right or wrong.
I journaled this morning, you know, when you did your roadmap. I joined that call too. Like I said, I've been consuming you since 5. So I think for me, I don't want to waste my husband's money. I don't want to disappoint my way to go accountability girls.
Well,
I don't want to disappoint my kids. Right, I have to do this.
Wait. You didn't answer my question.
Okay.
You told me what you're afraid of and you told me what you don't want to do. But I just asked you really, I just want to take a deep breath. This is just, I do this to everybody. Just take a deep breath. Do you believe you can lose weight?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Then that's all we need.
I do. I believe I can lose weight.
Okay. Then that's all we need. You do not like all that. Like, I don't want to waste this money and I don't want to do all this other stuff. That's your brain afraid. The reason why I ask is because our brain is always afraid of something. If you really like in those moments when you're afraid and you're thinking, I need to level up and I need to do these things, I want you to take a deep breath and just say, I know I can do this. If I settle down my drama and I just focus on what I need to be doing and I look at my data, was your weight, if your weight loss is still coming off, you don't have to level up.
Okay.
Most of us are leveling up because we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The key to the level up. So when you, I know you've already spent 4 hours with me already today.
It's been six but, hours. You know,
you should get a medal at this point. But when you listen to the level up lesson in the planner course, have you already listened to that? I know you've listened to a lot.
No, that was this morning when the little circles weren't up yet. And then you guys refreshed it. And that's when I jumped on the live this morning with the training.
Okay, good. All right. When you get to that lesson, one of the things that you're going to hear me talk about is leveling up is not, we don't do it from a place of I have to, it must be time. We don't do it then.
We do it when we're ready.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think you were ready. I think you were thinking a lot of things about like, I got to keep going. I don't want to fail. I don't want to waste his money. I don't want like, all of that, that's what we talked about. That's why I was like kind of trying to figure you out a little bit.
Sure.
Take a deep breath and say, like, I believe I can lose weight. Is it really time to level up? Is there anything in my data telling me it's time? Or is there anything in my gut saying, I'm just ready? Like, I don't need the donut anymore. Like, I just don't like, like, there's a difference between, like, I'm freaking out. I think it's time to level up. Or I just need to get more weight off and I need to just get there. Like there's a frantic energy around it. And then there's sure. Like going in one day going, fuck, I think I'd like to lose an extra 0.5 pound. I just don't think I want the donut. That's what happened with me. That's how I know the level up, how the feeling is. There is a sense of being drawn to the level up, not shoving yourself into it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Here's what I want you to do. But this, since you're in,
yes, ma'am,
I want you to really think about your realistic plans. That for, especially for someone who like tells me like I could eat like a fitness competitor, because I know that world.
Oh, I can't.
And if you like your shakes, keep your shakes. Like if there's like, no, I love them. Like this is fun. Like I do, then you don't change that part. But if you're planning bullshit at dinner that you can do for a few days until you're in fuck it mode for three.
Sure.
Not really doing for yourself. You've got to learn how to like say like, no, these are the foods I need to plan because I need to normalize my relationship with food. I need to normalize my expectations of myself. I need to normalize my thoughts around what's going to work and what's not. And that's going to come from you being probably like, I watch this happen all the time. You're going to be way more, you will be more comfortable trying to restrict than you will be comfortable trying to make a realistic plan. People are like, what do you mean?
Yes.
So if I plan like cookies and stuff, that's going to be hard. I'm like, give it a whirl. Then come tell me what
it's like. No, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. You're seeing right through me.
So I want you to plan realistically, allow it to be hard. Allow it to be like, oh, this is like going against my grain. That's probably when you're doing it right.
Okay.
And then watch the scale. And if the scale's moving, you know that that is like when it feels against your grain, you're like, oh, that's my old thinking. That's what I came to PNP to unwind. And if the scale's not moving, then you ask and ask coaches, say, here's my realistic plans and stuff. Where do you think I need to tweak? And we will help you tweak. It's that simple.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I can't believe how many newbies are jumping on the sword. I love it when she said, you make me, don't make me cry. And I'm like, y'all volunteer. Oh, all right, Angela, you're my last one today. Or Angie Fuller. Hey, Angie. You there?
Hello.
I think you had your hand raised last week, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah, all right. That's why I wanted to for sure call on you, because I was like, I think she had her hand up last week and I didn't get to call on you. So, okay, we'll be coaching on.
So what I want to coach on is, like, I've noticed several other people tend to have issues when we hit, like, big milestones. Like, and then tend to have stalls around these milestones. Like, I first found you last January as a groupie. And then I stalled at like 220, and that's when I joined the tribe in June. And then I stalled again around 200.
Okay.
And then I hit my big goal that I'd set last January at 180, and I had to stall around then.
Okay.
And each time I had to do a lot of TDLs and stuff to work through some issues, and have had some like effort moments around each of those major milestones.
Yeah.
And now I'm down to my last 15 pounds that I want to lose now. And I want to know if there's anything you can kind of do to work through those issues a little bit faster, you know, to not have it happen again.
Yeah, I think this is the thing. I think wanting it not to happen is the part that's going to hose you. It's like,
yeah, I know it's going to happen again. You know,
well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. It's what you make it mean when you stall. Like, do you make it mean this sucks, or do you make it mean, oh, this is when it gets good? Like, the next level of stuff I need to learn about me is now here. Because that's what these stalls and plateaus are about. It's like, you've learned one version of you that works. You've learned one version of you that does all this stuff. And then you run up against the next, like, what you're going to need to learn how to do to get further. It's not right, about like this is a bad thing that's happening. It's like, you just have to, like, it's, I think the fastest way to get through it is when you notice your weight loss plateauing. It's like, you just ask yourself, like, what needs to change? What's been like, because this is always what will happen as you lose weight. About every 20 pounds, you have to question things. You have to question your hunger and stuff. And what usually happens is we have some bullshit thinking, like, you mean I got to eat less? It's like, yeah, you weigh less. The price of being thin is you got to weigh less, or you got to eat a little less. Like, you don't have to eat, like, you're not going to be hungry. You're not going to be doing all these things, but you're going to always, like, as you, like, this is what I commonly see. As you lose weight, you're always going to have to eat less food than you want to eat. But your body is going to be the one that is always right. It's like, you just don't need that much. You're little, not big girl anymore.
Right. Like last time, right around 180, I worked and did a lot of TDLs. And then what finally came up, I had this thought in my mind, have I really worked hard enough to deserve this? And it was like, of course I have.
Right.
Yeah. But it was kind of crazy that I was...
Are you on a stall now, or are you just kind of trying to figure out what to do?
No, I'm not stalled right now. I actually just today hit my 5-pound goal for the gift of fat this month. So,
how much weight have you lost?
85 pounds.
Oh my God.
So,
congratulations. For all you newbies, will you please listen?
85 pounds since January, and I actually, my disabled parents live with me, and my mom, she's not in the tribe, but she's lost 60 pounds.
Oh my gosh. So, well, here's the thing.
So,
whatever you're doing, I just want you to do exactly that if a stall happens. It may or may not, but I think it's like just understanding that, you know, stalls and plateaus are a normal part of the process, and like letting yourself be like, oh, this is just a normal part of the process. This is where I'm supposed to learn how to do it a little differently now. This is the part where I get to dig a little deeper into, you know, what I'm willing to do for my weight loss and what I'm not willing to do for my weight loss. This is where I get to know myself even better. I mean, I think thinking about it in those terms kind of allows it to come in without it being like, no, here I am again at another weight loss stall. Because if it's, you know, if you think about it like that, then it's like, it's just sucky. And you're like one of those people that you'll get through it. It's like, are we going to get through it thinking, I love when I get to double down on myself and I get to know myself better? Or you're going to be the kind of person who's like, I know I'll get through it, but I'm going to have to drag my ass across the finish line. You know what I mean? So which
right.
one
are you? And I think hopefully this time my thought has changed around it, and I'm at a much better place thinking more positively about it now. So,
well, if you don't have anything else to think, I'll give you a thought as a gift for your 85 pounds that you have contributed to the tribe tote. No one does it better than me. Look at how many stalls and plateaus I've been on, and they have not been a big deal.
That's perfect. And your time management has been really beneficial. So I have 3 jobs and I've been able to handle it perfectly. So
I just want to record you and just be like, so, I got disabled parents and 3 jobs and all this other stuff. And it's like, no one else complain about your life.
I'm getting ready to take a 4th job. So
you're doing so good.
I have 4 jobs. So it's been a life changer. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I mean, seriously, you should, if you're not, I mean, I know you probably are, but oh my God, you need to, do you do a lot of like good gratitude work for yourself? Not just gratitude for your life, but like, do you really sit and think sometimes about, I'm so thankful for me for these reasons?
I have done a lot more of that this year. I'm getting a lot better with the self-care. So, and really my happiness is on par this year. You've helped me so much with my happiness this year. So,
oh, good. I love it. It's so funny. Your name, the reason why your name is so familiar to me also is, my very first babysitter when I was a kid, her name was Angie Fuller. She was the next teenager of, where my mom lived. So I was like, Angie so Fuller. So
I did a lot of babysitting when I was little. So that's funny.
That's hilarious. Well, congratulations. Tell your mother. I don't know if she listens to any of this stuff, but tell her I said congratulations also. And y'all just keep rocking it out.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I called on her. Okay. Let me see this last, a few little questions and we will get out of here, y'all. Is it obsessive to travel with your scale? Obsessive is a feeling. So if you feel like you can't travel without it and you feel compelled, that's one thing. Some people like to, there's like, that's how I stay in check. And they don't think about it any more than that. They don't have like a beat down. They don't feel like it's like, oh my God, if I gain weight when I travel and like all the terrible things, I don't weigh when I'm on vacation. I don't carry a scale with me. You know what I carry with me? I carry a plan, my planner or a piece of paper, and I focus more on my habits. Like I do a daily, like if you're going to weigh something every day, weigh how you're showing up in just your daily habits. Are you still thinking through your food or when you're on vacation, when you're traveling? Are you, eating only when you're hungry? Are you doing those things? I would weigh those things way more than I would be traveling with a scale. Because here's the thing, when you travel, your scale's going to go up usually, especially if you fly. Like when I travel, a lot of times when I get back home, let's just say I ate salads and water the whole time, I will still be up 3 or 4 pounds. I retain water like a damn camel. It is like today, I'm up 4 pounds today because I'm ovulating. I'm not even on my period. I can ovulate. And I lifted weights yesterday. God help me. My arms are sore. So I always know I'm going to be up. So it's like, you just don't like freak out about that stuff when you start really understanding what has impacts on the scale, because I've been eating healthy all week. I've been gearing up for all the newbies and all of you for the new year. I don't include many foods on my plan because I feel cravings when I eat them. Sugar, high carbs, nuts. I've been listening to Realistic Planning in the OBS, and I'm wondering if choosing not to eat these foods are diet rules. It's definitely diet rules because what I would rather eat, versus listening to my body. I've lost 65 pounds and honestly feel better not eating these. Okay, well, if you, but at times I feel deprived. What are your thoughts? So here's the thing, Cindy. Why don't you just experiment and like, just start with the nuts. Add a few nuts in. Because the thing is that like, if you feel deprived, then sometimes just like, I really want to be able to eat like some nuts, or I really want to be able to eat some sugar. And I know the price that I'm going to pay is I'm going to have thoughts of like, I may have some physical cravings and that's okay, because I would really like to like include this every now and then. You can do it that way. But if you're like, you know, I don't eat these things and I just feel physically better. If you're truly feeling physically better, then it doesn't lead to deprivation. Deprivation is always a feeling in our model that comes from a thought of, I sure wish I could have that. It's like our other call. I just want to be able to eat what I want to be able to eat. You know, it's those little thoughts are the ones that cause deprivation. So you want to make sure that you are watching what thinking causes it. The best way to, it's like, you don't have to have the food in order to not feel deprived, but sometimes we need to practice having those foods to understand. It's like, oh, it's not that, like, it's not about the cravings. Like, if I really want it, I just know I have to pay the price of like, you know, sugar makes me crave it more. If I'm okay with going for a couple of days craving it and not having it because it's not on my plan, then I'll do that. Otherwise, if you're like, it's not worth the cravings, then you no longer feel deprived because you're choosing to not have the cravings over it. I hope that makes sense. I'm struggling with the thought of snacking when I get to -2. If I'm at a -2, do I push through and wait for the next wheel? It's up to you, Gretchen. Some people want to have a snack. Some people build snacks into their plan so that if they get to a -2, they don't always eat to a +2. So let's say that like, you are a teacher and you're going to eat lunch at 10 and your family likes to eat dinner at 7, because a lot of the teachers for some reason have to eat lunch at like, you know, 10:40 in the morning. So let's pretend that's you. Sometimes people are like, I really want to be able to have a great dinner. Like I want to be able to eat with my family and stuff, but I don't want to go from 10:40 all the way to 7. So they plan to have a snack. And because at the when it's time for a snack, they're at a negative two, doesn't mean you have to eat all the way to a plus two. You may just be eating to a zero to carry you through, and that's fine. You get to pick, though. What's the best way to end the fuck it eating? You have the first, like, go through no BS. Gwendolyn, I don't know if you've been through no BS first, but I like, you got to go through no BS. The best way to end fuck it eating is, one, you got to identify when you're doing it. You can't stop something that you don't know when it's going to happen. And if you are using your planner, you will be tracking it and you will see when it's happening for sure. And the best way to end something is to know how often it's happening, looking for the patterns. As you go through no BS, guys, there is a sheet called the Discovery Worksheet. It is going to make you fill out this little worksheet every time you overeat. Now, fucking eating is one of those. If every time you do that, you will start identifying the patterns, and it has you strategize what you're going to be doing differently. The best way to end it is not to just be like, I got to like try to, you know, like hold tight and do all these other things. No, what you have to do is you have to like say, okay, here are the times when I normally do it. So I need to have strategies for during this time. I need to be thinking about my thinking during this time. So the discovery worksheet is super helpful, but the best way to end it is to like know when it's happening and getting ahead of it by coming up with new things to try ahead of time and understanding like why you're doing it to begin with. Let's see. Earlier you asked a caller, do you believe that you can lose the weight? I've been saying yes all along, despite many setbacks. What if this time the answer is no? What do you advise them? Then if you don't believe that you, like if this time the answer is no, I don't believe I can do it, then my advice is to start working on believing. So saying, I may not believe I can lose all the weight, but I believe I can learn how to believe again. I can learn how to start thinking differently. I believe I can figure it out eventually. Or like believing today isn't nearly as important as believing in that I can do some things today. Like believing I can lose all the weight versus believing I can show up for myself today. Earlier, I've already got it. Okay, y'all. That's it for today. Y'all have a good one, and I will see everybody at tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Central Time on the 2020 Get Your Shit Together workshop. We're going to do all the things together, guys. So thank you for all the newbies. This call will be put into the archives, so you'll have the video replays and everything. It goes up in about 24 hours, so you'll be able to watch or listen to this later if you want to. And if you are a newbie and you're hearing this for the first time, you're like, oh my gosh, Corinne, you have so many calls and blah, blah, blah. You do not have to listen to all of them. And what we'll do is we'll give you timestamps. So if you see a call and you're like, well, I really like caller two is me, but the rest of them are not, you just listen to caller two. Okay. All right, guys, we try to keep it easy for you. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.